expression. Thank you. Now we're ready to begin our school board meeting, the meeting of the Sevier School District Board of Education. We are currently in the Sevier School District office. Today is Wednesday, April 9th, 2025, and it is 3 o'clock. Those in attendance are Jill Porter, Vice President Ryan Savage, Jack Hansen, myself, John Foster. Rick Orr is asked to be excused. Also attending from the administration are Superintendent Dr. Kate Douglas, Assistant Superintendent Mike Willis, Business Administrator Chad Lloyd, and Executive Secretary Krista Nielsen. We'll begin with our preliminary. We'll ask Jill Porter to conduct that.
So we can just pray and do the same.
Our kind of your Father in Heaven, as we gather here today, we had asked that you help us work together, help us unite for a common purpose to work for the betterment of our district. Guide our discussion that we may share our goals for the district, that we can work together for the betterment of our students. Thank you, Holy Father, for the blessings that you bring to us each and every day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here and work together. And I say this in some way in Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.
I pledge to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item of business is the consent agenda. Anybody have any comment or questions about consent agenda?
If there's no discussion, Mr. President, I would make a motion to accept the consent agenda as written.
I would like to take just a moment to acknowledge our student recognition as part of that consent agenda. If you want to look at your page 58, it references our Sterling Scholars. We had a winner from North Sevier, Tiana Easterday in English, and a runner-up in General Scholarship, Hayden Johnson. The other school representatives were Reagan Johnson, Chanel Hess, Ivy Nielsen, Gracie Vanderson, and Mason Bossmeyer. From Richfield High School, we had a winner in mathematics, and that was Katie Anderson. And the other Sterling Scholars from the school were Heston Littlewood, Sophie Belknap, Sydney Anderson, Elliot Lindsay, Lindy Thomas, Kylie Woolsey, Lake Forsyth, J.C. Peterson, Brooklyn Stubbs, and Finn Spencer. And from South Sevier, we had a winner in social science, and that was Maxim Bastian. And two runners up, Kylan Johnson in dance, and McCall Matthew in visual arts. Also, we had Richfield High School girls swimming team. Ava Kling placed first in the 200-yard freestyle and in the 3A State Swim Championship. We'll send a letter of congratulations to them, and also to the Richfield High School swim coach, Stacy Kling, who was recognized as the 3A Coach of the Year. If there's no other discussion,
I'll second.
been moved and seconded, and we accept the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Do we have anybody that signed up for public comment on the fee schedule or anything else? Nope. Okay, then we'll move to items to the board. First thing I know that we'll do it is a review of our training at the convention, the school board, National School Board Convention in Atlanta. Anybody have any comments about how that works for them?
Yeah, it was a good conference. I thought it was worth going to. Mike and I were in one meeting and the next month, so we have to look at them. But talked about how much money we're spending on keeping our school safe, and then went on to give some percentages and let's see. So the number one threat to schools right now is cyber attack. And the number two threat to schools is sexual assault by the school employee. That's what they brought up. I mean, that wasn't necessarily a school shooter, but it was a big threat that we're spending all of the money on school shooters, because that's what it feels. Anyway, it was just something that kind of hit me that, yeah, we worried about a school shooting, but a lot of stuff going on in schools that isn't good stuff. So.
I attended a pretty good session on cell phones, but 90% of their discussion was the process that they went through and talked to the community and their teachers and students about how they're going to handle cell phones, and then 10% was about what their solution was. Basically, just going to lock them up. Lock the phones up.
But it's funny, John, and this was brought up in the same session that I was in at the same time you were in that one. Mm-hmm. Down the hall, there was another one that was affecting school leadership in the digital age. And they were talking about how we were supposed to embrace all the technology and bring it into the classrooms and allow it. So, anyway, there's a lot of different
two ways of looking at it.
These are here, whether we want them to be or not, aren't they?
Yeah, I think as far as cell phones, we landed the bill that was passed this legislative session actually landed in a pretty good place. It started out very, very extreme, which when they first started talking to us last summer, the sponsor was Senator Fillmore, and the governor himself was very adamant about not allowing cell phones on campus at all. And we were able to say, hey, wait a minute, this is how parents know that their children are safe. This is how parents know where their children are. We've had better luck, and I can name several examples where students are allowed some freedoms in passing times and at lunch or even after school. But I think we all came to a pretty strong and firm agreement that during instruction time, cell phones need to be place. Like in our district, the most effective schools are using the little cubbies, little calculator keepers, that's what we used to call them. Just hanging on the wall and on the door, and students walk in and either put their smart watches or smartphones or devices in those cubbies. I do like the opportunity, and I think you all, I'm seeing a lot of the head nodding, I think you all agree, a good teacher can monitor that. There might be a time that a good teacher, like you're seeing from the other workshop, might say, hey, grab your cell phones, we're going to do some survey. Let's do some survey learning or different methods. They all have at least every student has access to a Chromebook in our district all the way up from elementary to middle and high. So they can use Chromebooks for most of that. But I'd like to give some autonomy to teachers on when students put their devices in the keepers. I thought back to the conference just overall, I think it's such a great experience to go out as a school board and be a, you know, see what other schools and school districts throughout the country are doing. I always have really good one-on-one conversations with each board member. There's usually a lot of takeaways that, hey, we're well ahead in this area, or this is an area we could work to improve. It just keeps us on the cutting edge of what other school districts are doing with every aspect of what's going on in public education throughout the country. It is also, for me, it's very powerful to hear that other districts are struggling with some of the same things we are. Sometimes it feels like we're alone in our work, but it's nice to associate with not only our Utah school districts, but to get outside of what's going on in the country. So I thought it was good. My favorite, I really, really enjoyed the first keynote. I was super motivating, and she was very polished as far as what her experience is and what she had done with her life. And pretty cool when she said that she's accomplished more on one leg than she would have on two, and I think she's right. It was pretty fascinating to see what she's, and it made me think, oh, I can do better. It was just motivating. I really liked that. And then several of the breakouts were.
There was one that I liked, and I talked to Jack a little bit about it. They talked about how you should have a school board member or someone from the district attending the PTO or PTA meetings so they can find out exactly what's really going on in the school and how things are doing. So you kind of have a voice in the school, and I kind of like that, and I thought, you know, you can really find out and see what they're doing when you attend those meetings. And the other one that I liked is there was one district, and I thought this was way too much, but they have students, they elect 5 students to the school board. They don't get a vote, they don't get set in an executive session, but they have kids that really are interested in the political, you know, agenda and stuff like that. And they allow them to sit on the school board and get input from the school's point of view. And I just thought that was kind of interesting. And the students, they'll run for it just like they run for an office in their school, but they run for school board. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Any other observations or comments?
Yeah, I was going to just point out, just reiterate what Superintendent said about that first keynote. I thought she was excellent. I actually have started vetting her and try and maybe get her for an upcoming, some for our teachers, hopefully our next midwinter. I thought she'd be excellent for something like that. Yeah, she was outstanding.
You know, as far as the cell phones, I think we do need to embrace it, because not only is it not going away, but it's becoming an absolute must, have to have thing. I felt like a hick from the sticks when I went into the mall across the street from our hotel and found out that to use the restroom you have to have a cell phone, because I went to the concierge or the help desk and said, hey, where's the restroom? And they said, oh, you have to take a picture of this QR code, and then when you get down to the restroom, you have to show that to the sensor, and then that will open the door. And I thought, I guess they're trying to keep homeless people out of it. You couldn't even go to the restroom in that mall without a cell phone. I thought, you know, it's getting to be something that everybody's going to have, and that everybody does have, or you're just a hit from the sticks. Helpless. Any other comments about
it? I really like that comment. I fear that if we just try to control it, I've always believed in the gradual release of technology. You know, we teach students age-appropriate components. Obviously, I'm a strong believer that you don't turn a 10-year-old child loose with an iPhone. That would be one of the most dangerous things a parent can do. But if you keep them from it well into their 18th year, and you haven't taught them anything about appropriate use and digital footprint, it's a very slippery, dangerous slope.
I don't know that they'd graduate. I don't know that they would graduate if you held it from to them.
We would be, technology is such an important part of what we do. Now we're grappling, I would say, more than half of the breakout sessions I attended had AI as the main focus. And that world of AI is, it scares me. It gives me a stomachache. But unless we find ways to strategically address AI and see the good in it and then warn of the dangers in it, we're not doing anybody any favors if we totally ban it. And I appreciate the governor's concern and the Senator Fillmore's concern. They're very concerned with social media and how dangerous and toxic it can be. But to think that just not allowing cell phones from 8 to 3 every day would do away with social media use is silly. I actually think it would exaggerate the dangers of it. We just have to continually educate and help parents understand and help students understand. Mostly, the concept of digital footprint, it's always there. They think that they can send it and it disappears. It's not. It's on a server somewhere. So I appreciate your comment on that too.
Okay, the next item on the items from the board was board key performance review. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, so this is just our, Krista was reminding me a couple weeks ago. This is every year in April, we send the board our self-evaluation. So every single person here, we ask that you fill it out, including Krista and all of us, Chad, Mike, myself, and then all board members. And just really kind of self-reflect, and it's a self-evaluation. It's an opportunity for us to say, okay, this is something we do really well. This is something that we need to improve upon. And then next month in May, Krista does a really good job summarizing that, and we'll just talk through it as one of our items that's the board items section. We'll just talk about areas that we can work on and things we do well, things we need to work on.
You haven't said that yet. Okay.
Yeah, I wondered if I overlooked it.
Building's coming. She always brings them all after so you can watch
more. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'd just like to express my appreciation for the district in sending us to that MSBA media. I know it's an expense, but I think we gain a lot from it. I'm glad that our district is progressive enough to let us attend those and sharpen our saws and be aware of what's going on. So I appreciate that very much. Next item is discussion items from the administration. Dr. Douglas, will you address that?
I don't have an awful lot. In fact, I think this will be a little bit shorter meeting for us. Knock on wood. But just wanted to say thank you. I'm super appreciative to each of you as board members. Always impressed with what I see when I go out in the schools, in our principals' meetings, working with our instructional coaches. We have great people that are really striving to improve and do great things. I've learned over the years, one thing I have to be super careful with, I think I've mentioned this before over the years, but it hit me again this week a little bit. When I attend a meeting, the meeting generally stops. It's a bad thing. I have to be really careful. I've always thought I'm just Cade. Like, keep going, it's just me, it's just Cade. But I have to remember my position, people think differently when I enter the room. And so they could be having a very high synergy meeting, and they could be really accomplishing some great things. And then when I show up, they're
their openness changes just a little bit. I don't think they're scared of me or threatened by me, but it just, I had a superintendent teach me that about 8 years ago, and I remember thinking, really? That's weird. Are they scared of you? But they're not. It's just, it's your position. Just last week, I had Mike attend a meeting because I found in this particular meeting, when they come up with an idea, they just want to look at me and have me approve it on the spot, which isn't a good process. And Mike will buffer it and say, I'll bounce it off the superintendent. We'll talk through this. And usually by the next month, we've come to a better consensus and conclusion. I know there's some interesting pieces with that, but we do have, every time I'm in schools, and I need to go out even more often, I love getting invited, and I'll try to share invites that I get with you to see positive things. But every time I'm in classrooms and in schools, I see really, really great things going on. And it's my best political strategy is to invite governor's office folks, legislators, anyone, especially decision makers and powerful lawmakers to come and visit our schools anytime unannounced, and they'll leave impressed, and they always have when they come. Senior walks is one of those opportunities. It's the first item I have on there. Krista worked to get those dates on there. I was just getting texts. Krista sent out the agenda. If you have an opportunity to attend those senior walks, they're always a very positive experience. You can see there the dates and times coming up in May. There they are for you. If you can attend as many of those as possible, or just divvy up and try to attend those that are in your attendance area that you live in, that would be wonderful. The retirement dinner, it's April 30th, 6 o'clock. I think I gave you a heads up on that a couple of months ago. It's always very positive. We don't have as many retiring this year as we have had other years, but it'll still be a great, great meeting and opportunity to just celebrate. It's one of those rituals that I look forward to. It's become one of my very favorite days of the year, just because it's such a reminder of why we're really here. You see the good in all of our employees, support staff, and teachers and administrators that are retiring. Legislative update. I gave a pretty broad update last month. Chad and I will be attending meetings down in St. George tomorrow and Friday, where we receive specific legislative updates, how the State Board of Education is interpreting the laws, how they have taken the funding that was allocated through the session and distributed it to school districts. I will mention that we had a virtual meeting with the legislator that drafted the safety law, and we've been meeting with USBE people, making lots of phone calls. I don't know if I updated the board or not, but I think I've told you enough that you'll remember there was a $50 million allocation a year ago for safety, and each school district had to apply for those funds. We applied, and we didn't receive any funding. We were just devastated by that. So we've been making phone calls ever since. We just found out about a month ago that we didn't receive any funding.
Did they give you an answer why?
Yeah, well, we're hearing different ideas of why. There's another $50 million that's coming. Well, it's basically just lumped into $100 million. So $50 million that the State Board of Education was in charge of allocating. Another $50 million that the chief over school safety was in charge of allocating. And then just this session, they allocated another $25 million, which is well short of what we need. But as we've made these phone calls, we've had some assumptions, and I feel like our assumptions have been somewhat accurate, that when funds like this become available, the state needs to be much more careful in punishing districts that have been proactive. So it's frustrating. This comes up a lot. We've seen it with technology. We've seen it with other funds that come and go. But our district, over the last 10 years, we've been working really hard on door locks, making sure that teachers don't have to open their door, go out and lock it with a key. So for years, we've been working on door locks. That was one of the priorities for these funds. Cameras, security cameras. We've for years put our own priority, our funds, into having good security cameras that are clear, and we've updated them, and we've updated the servers. That's another area. Secure entryways. Over the last 4 years, we've worked really hard. Most of this is on Chad Lloyd's plate. He's worked very hard to make sure that our secure entryways have been improved, and they all have. By the end of the summer, we'll have a pretty good answer. There's still some buildings that are challenging, but pretty good answer for having every entryway similar to what you see when you enter our office here, where you enter and you have a safe place to be, you feel welcome, you meet with the secretary and they buzz you in. And we feel like since we've worked so hard putting any funds we've received in the name of safety, we've allocated to those areas, money of our own that we've scrimped and saved and prioritized, we've strived to put into those areas, and we feel that that's probably one of the reasons we didn't get any of the funding. There's another piece, I think, that had to do with the tremendous expense of the shatterproof glass film that's supposed to make glass harder to penetrate. That was a huge portion of our application, because the application required us to put it on there, and it's very expensive. And there was lots of questions there. Our hope moving forward is that with this extra $25 million that we can get more than our fair share back. Our next step is the PA systems, improving alert PA systems for everyone with the teacher panic button, so every school employee can be made aware anytime there's an emergency. We put that clearly in our application, so we were very frustrated by that, but they didn't fund it. We also saw that several other districts, it was very random. There was one neighboring district that received like $17,000. I don't know what they'll do with that, whereas another neighboring district received $1.4 million in the application. So we were very frustrated.
Find out what their app writers are. Yeah, how their applications. How are you doing that?
It wasn't any different than ours from everything that we've discussed. It was just interesting how that... I do think that they may have listed door locks and things that were prioritized that we've already taken care of. So we've been very clear letting them know. But that's just an example. But tomorrow and Friday, I'll have lots more to share next month with how all those different laws that were written. You know, you've heard me talk of the hundreds and hundreds of bills, how they'll affect our policies, how they'll affect our funding and moving forward. So I'll give you a better report on that. The graduation schedule is on the agenda. I mentioned it last month. Just wanted to put it again. It's that. Oh, I didn't get the date on there again.
23rd.
May 23rd. You can see it just rotates. Cedar Ridge is always at 10, and then you can see the other assignments. As far as discussion items, I just always like to at least have one. One of my items focus on our district vision, mission, and goals. We've still been reading through the multiplier effect. It's been really, really good. This last month in principals meeting, we had a lengthy discussion on the importance of engaging and encouraging debate among all staff members. Before you make a decision, encourage debate. Debate's not a bad word. Debate is actually what's made America great. Throughout the history of our country, there's been healthy, respectable debate. And so we're talking a lot with principals on how to ask the right questions. One big takeaway for me was, debate something in a faculty meeting and then ask those who are so strongly in favor of and so strongly against to switch roles and debate it. I thought, what a great strategy to have people think differently. And really, we talk a lot about consensus and just... It's a process before you make a decision, really working through the appropriate processes and getting everyone's true thoughts going and flowing. It's just such a better way to leadership. It sums it up in that quote that I included. It says, how leaders make decisions is profoundly influenced by how they engage and leverage the resources around them. So I feel like we model that really well at the district level. I don't think any one of us make a decision. We always work together on almost every decision. And we're desiring that principals and assistant principals, instructional coaches, counselors, teachers, staff, we have the same type of thing. We need to encourage more leverage of everyone around. And then the last thing, I just wanted to show you a quick video that I came across. It was It was in a training that I attended a month ago. You'll love it. It's inspirational. And it's directly related to a middle school in Michigan. But I just want to share it, and then we can talk a little bit about it. Just a short clip. I've shared these before. It's On the Road, the On the Road series, where the reporter goes out and finds good stories, but this one's especially good. It's one that I hadn't seen. Let's see if I can kind of get my screen to pop up.
Tonight, with the football play of the month, it was executed with amazing precision by the Eagles, the Olivet Eagles. Steve Hartman has the play and the post-game analysis on the road.
Between classes, they schemed and conspired. For weeks, the football players here at Olivet Middle School in Olivet, Michigan, secretly planned their remarkable play.
Did anybody know this is a crazy idea?
No, everyone was in on it.
But like the coaches didn't know anything about it. So we're like going behind their back.
I've just never heard of a team coming up with a plan to not score.
It's just like to make someone's day, make someone's week, just make them happy.
The play, which was two plays actually, happened at a home game earlier this month. The first part of their plan was to try to get as close to the goal line as possible without scoring, even if it meant taking a dive on the 1 yard line, which it did. The crowd was not happy. Quarterback Parker Smith.
But us kids knew, hey, we got this. This is our time. This is Keith's time.
Keith Orr is the little kid in the brown jacket. He's learning disabled, struggles with boundaries, but in the sweetest possible way. Because of his special nature, it's no surprise that Keith embraces his fellow football players. What is surprising is how they have embraced him.
Hello.
We thought it'd be cool to do something for him.
Because we really wanted to prove that he was part of our team and he meant a lot to us.
Nothing can really explain getting a touchdown when you've never had one before.
Which brings us to part two of their play. If you didn't see Keith, it's because they were so protective of him. But he was in the middle of that rush.
And when you crossed the goal line, what was that like?
Awesome. It was like, did he just score a touchdown?
Get your camera out.
What happened? I can't.
Keith's parents, Carrie and Jim, almost missed the moment, but they got the significance.
Somebody's always going to have his back from now until the day he graduates.
She's right. When the football team decides you're cool, pretty much everyone follows suit. Today, Keith is a new kid, although by no means was he the only one who was profoundly changed.
What was it like for you?
It was like once I saw him going, I was smiling like about like here.
Wide receiver Justice Miller.
Like nothing could wipe that smile off my face.
Why did it affect you so much?
Because like he's never been like cool or popular, and he went from being like pretty much a nobody to making everyone's day.
Justice admits the play wasn't his idea.
I would have not really thought about that.
He says it never crossed his mind to give Keith any glory.
Well, I kind of went from being somebody like mostly cared about myself and my friends to caring about everyone and trying to make everyone's day and everyone's life.
Which may just make that touchdown the most successful football play of all time. Steve Hartman, On the Road, in Olivet, Michigan.
I
don't know how you can make experiences like that happen anywhere outside of public education, folks. And it comes from the kids. I love the story. My favorite parts were the three of them protect him so much. You know, I just love that. It's touching. And then what they learn from it. But those kind of things are happening in public schools throughout the country. They're definitely happening in our school district. Kids care about kids. They look out for each other. I could share several local examples of very similar things with where kids just have tender hearts and they look out for each other. And I just, you've heard my soapboxes on my frustration on the attacks on public education, the attacks claiming that we need more choice or vouchers or those kind of things. We have lots of choices right here in our own system. And the coolest ones are kid-led, that it's all about kids and focusing on, you know, the coolest part of the story is they did it without letting anyone know. I mean, the poor kid's parents weren't even videoing it. Just touching, awesome stuff. And I loved it. So I think anytime we can promote goodness and share the good things going on, we need to. But that's all I had. Any questions for me? Yeah, if you want to share it, you just Google Olivet, Michigan, on the agenda. I think it's pronounced Olivet, Michigan. Looks like Olivet. Olivet.
Just to carry forward what Superintendent was just talking about, I couldn't agree more. It was interesting, this last batch of substitutes that we hired. Nolan and I interview substitutes, and then we offer them to come to the training, and we put them through that. But there was a young man that came in kind of along the same line that I had, and I knew him from somewhere. They didn't recognize the name. About halfway through the interview, or just after the interview, I asked him a few questions, and then it dawned on me. And it's weird how a kid will grow up. And when I was the middle school principal, I had a young man. I used to give an award at the end of the year. I gave a lot of stuff at the end of the year, but I gave an award called the Blood, Sweat, and Tears Award. It was usually for a student that, against all odds, had become somewhat successful during their middle school stint. And this young man, I don't remember all the ins and outs, but I do remember he had come to us because his mother had been murdered, and he just, there was no rhyme or reason for him to have any, you know, be positive and care. And he was just, had a big heart. He was a great kid, and we embraced him and you know, tried to make his life better while he was there. And, you know, I moved on, he's moved on, and this young man came in, he has changed his name, that's why I didn't recognize it. I liked his name before, it was Rain Reddington, I remember, and I thought, man, that's like an author's name, or just a, he came and he wants to be a teacher, so he signed up to be a substitute, and he's been in the schools, and just a soft-hearted, just a really, really sweet kid, and I just thought, yeah, that's why we do what we do, to give those types of kids chances. So, anyways, I don't have a ton on my agenda items. I do want to say to the board, thank you for the opportunity to go to Atlanta for our board conference. I'm always super impressed with our board over the years, especially right now. We have such a great cohesiveness, and it's just enjoyable for me to go there and be a part of this group and go to the courses, and it's just really a nice feeling when everybody is in it for the right reasons, and you kind of take care of each other and have a good time, you know, learning together and bringing it back to help strengthen what we do here in our district. So I just appreciate the opportunity. Just really quick, touching on assessment as always, we're getting right down to the wire. We've already opened up the RISE window. Utah Aspire Plus window is coming up the end of this month and the beginning of May, which is for our 9th and 10th graders. These are our final assessments for the year. RISE, I broadened that window slightly just because you never know where spring break is going to land, and our middle schools with the one little writing piece for a couple of the grades, I opened that window just slightly so that they could do the writing pre-spring break and then jump into the other core subjects to test as they get back, so they feel comfortable with their schedules and so forth. So that, you know, that's available to them with the Acadians, with the younger grades, and then those that are doing the iReady testing, they have to take some assessment with that to show the fidelity on that through the STEM Action Center. And so we're there. We're already to the end of the year with the assessment, with our summative assessment. So this is when we prove that we're doing a good job teaching students. And so excited to see those scores, and hopefully we're improving in the right areas that we should be. I did want to touch on the culture initiatives just real quick. I'm not going to pull it up on here, but just as a reminder, several years ago we were having some major issues with some mental health type things, and so we put together an initiative page. It is 5 pages strong, and it is a living document. So things get taken off when they run their course, and we add things to it, but especially with the help from Shyla Anderson and the things that she's done with our PBIS and our MTSS and some of those areas of mental health and some of the things that we've struggled with over the years. But we've definitely, I think we can illustrate with that document all the things that we are trying and trying to improve and get kids the help they need if they're struggling in those areas. And so I feel really good about all the initiatives. Like I said, it's 5 pages. The document is 5 pages long, which illustrates that we've done quite a bit over the years, the last several years, and we continue to look for opportunities to help our students in that regard. Moving down, I have a couple of brochures on some of the testing things that go home to parents, so they're made aware of that. And then one of the last things I want to talk about, we had a meeting a couple of weeks ago. Lieutenant Governor and they started a pilot program for community engagement and service. I know we brought it up a couple of times the last couple of years, but we are one of the 5 school districts that are piloting that program. It's something that's Jennifer Christensen, I think superintendent, put her in charge of it, and it's we've done quite a bit with it. I just wanted to make you aware that coming up, we talked in our scheduling meeting quite a bit about this. And like Richfield High School, on May 15th, the Lieutenant Governor and Dr. Nye, who's kind of part of this pilot program, will be visiting our district. They're going to start at Richfield High School. One of the things that Richfield High School is doing as part of providing service opportunities is doing what they call their Haiti breakfast. Started, I think, with Corey Morrison, and you know where he had adopted a student, and several others in the community had a child from Haiti. And those students are working their way through our system, but they do a breakfast to raise money, and you know, so they serve. That's what I asked Richfield. So what are you guys? They're going, well, the breakfast is a big thing that we do to serve, but they do other things. They read it, provide opportunities to read with the elementary students. South Sphere High School, they're doing things in the community, paint picnic tables at the city park, curbing, clean up the park, in the landing zone. Students help middle school students with their explore classes. Middle school with Michelle Nielsen, she has afternoon explore classes, and high school students can go down there and be a part of that. They get really creative with some of those courses and classes and opportunities, and so high school students can help with those middle school programs that way. North Sphere High School, they're doing cleanup projects, tying quilts, burning ditch banks, prepping to paint the NS up on the hill, and install a solar light system that will light up the NS at night, and then several other opportunities there. They help with the backpack club in each of these school areas as well. But anyways, it's looking for opportunities, and I think at the time when we first started looking at this, we're scratching our head, what opportunities are available? We don't want to overrun the community, but it's starting, according to that last meeting we had a couple weeks ago, things are coming out of the woodwork. There's more than enough service opportunities for these high school kids to be involved and to serve others, and kind of like what that boy said in that video, you know, he used to be one that just thought about himself, and you get them involved with something like that, and it's a positive thing. They realize that the world's a little bigger than just them. And so I think this is a great opportunity. It'll be nice to have the Lieutenant Governor come and see it. We kind of compared and contrasted to what those other 4 school districts in the pilot program were doing, and I felt like we were doing a great job. Jen's doing a really good job trying to look for opportunities and help the schools kind of put together a somewhat of a tracking system. It's not mandatory, but it's something that they can get a little bit of kickback for. So we're excited about that. We want our high school students to kind of look for opportunities to serve not only the community, but just make it a lifelong thing that they can go out and get that feeling that you get from helping others. And so with that said, if you're available on May 15th, Richfield High School at 8 till 10, we'll be doing their Haiti breakfast. I put in a plug for you guys to show up, and they were all about it. So if you guys are around on May 15th, feel free to stop in at Richfield High and kind of see service at its best.
No, there will be students from South Sevier High School and North Sevier High School attending at Richfield High School in order to provide feedback to the Lieutenant Governor and her staff as well.
Right.
They try to get out to as many as they can, but it's tricky with schedule.
They're going to be here not for a long time, but long enough that hopefully they'll get a taste for what we're all about here at Sevier. So, anyways, that's all I have. If there's any questions for me.
Does that breakfast usually start before 8 o'clock?
I think they started right at.
I think it starts.
Does it start earlier than that? This was from my notes, so I put down 8 to 10. But
it seems like it may be
before school,
early.
And then they might be on assembly schedule, and
maybe this is
they might be feeding them from 8 to 9, and then it's kind of like a reverse assembly schedule where they start first hour a little later.
Yeah,
but I do think they start earlier.
Yeah, they might.
I can't remember the details.
Well, it should be on the Richfield bulletin, shouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if you're there, they wouldn't miss it, but.
I haven't been to it before,
Don't feel obligated. But yeah. It's a fun thing, fun opportunity.
Fun to see kids serving others. So, okay, thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Mr. Lloyd, give us the construction update.
That's the only thing on my agenda. Just update on that. Things are moving along pretty much according to plan with the locker room remodels. The demo's kind of basically getting done at South Sevier High to the point that they'll be pouring cement floors on the boys' side. Probably beginning next week. They're doing the underground plumbing right now. Excuse me. Girls' side will follow. There is a crew over in North Sevier also demoing as well. So demo's taking place at both sites and moving along. I'd say they're a little behind schedule, but contractor feels pretty good about the timeline so far. So I don't think so far we've ran into any major hiccups. Haven't heard anything anyway, so those jobs seem to be moving along all right. Wrapping up the new wrestling room at South Sevier. Keep in mind, that was kind of supposed to be done in March, but wasn't a real, not a deadline that we were pushing real hard anyway, because wrestling's already over, so it's not like we were going to get them in that wrestling room for anything this year anyway, so... when they finish that job, it just kind of is what it is. Haven't been pushing them on it, but I do believe they're getting really close to having it done. We're hung up on a little bit of bathroom tile. The contractor couldn't get the tile that we had ordered, but those jobs are moving along. Summer work is being lined out right now. We've got bids on the tennis courts in Monroe to redo them. Anthony and I and Kenny need to sit down and analyze those bids. But it's looking kind of like what we were expecting. There's bids from about $75,000 to just over $100,000, depending on what exactly we want done, which is right in the ballpark. What I was expecting, around $12,000 per court, which puts you at $75,000-ish. We're doing bids right now on carpet for four or five different schools. I'm working through that. Anthony's just running, trying to keep up with everything, but it'll come together as usual. So, any questions for me or anything else? Yeah.
That's all I have.
All right. Any other questions or discussion items from anybody before we close this up? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion, Mr. President.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that we adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's it.